Greetings in the name of the Lord on this Ascension Sunday. By now, most of you heard that our president has encouraged the state governments to allow for a return to worship. It appears our governor will speak to the issue tomorrow and inform the citizens of California of their timeline concerning places of worship and the return thereunto. Lord willing, soon, most of you won't be seeing my face on your TV or computer screen, but we'll be meeting face to face. Please pray to that end as we work with our state and local officials, as well as with our new location, to facilitate in-person worship as soon as we possibly can. I mean, that is what we want, isn't it? A return to the community of faith assembled in worship. And on this Ascension Sunday, I want to speak about what a glorious gift that is, in hopes that not only during this time of quarantine, but even after, we might long to assemble with God's people in corporate worship. First thing I want us to see is the beginning and the end. If we look at the first pages of the Bible and compare them with the last pages, we can see clearly God's plan for humanity. We see both what he desires and what he destines for mankind. And what we see when we look is people dwelling together in the presence of God and finding their joy there. In a very real sense, this is what you want because this is why you were made, whether you know it or not, which in part is what has made the last 9 weeks so difficult. And let's see what I mean. In the beginning, most of us know how the biblical story of mankind starts. God creates Adam and Eve. They dwell in a garden where they meet with their Maker. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound all that great to you, but it's only because you and I don't understand what a blessing that is. Genesis shows us where the good stuff is found by the language that it uses, the language of blessing. There are two things blessed in creation. First, the community. God blessed them in verses 22 and 28. And then he told them, as he blessed them, to increase the community, to be fruitful and multiply. But not just was the community blessed, there was a day that was blessed, the seventh day. The day where God rested, that would come to be known as the Sabbath of man, was the day where man was to meet with God and enjoy his refreshing presence. God's community in God's presence is where the blessings are found in the book of Genesis. But we also see this very clearly in the end. The fact is, God's community in God's presence is where the ultimate blessing is because it's what we would call heaven. I mean, consider what God does at the end of the story when he displays for us the greatest end of man, the final state. How does he describe it, and what does it entail? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands." And it continues in verse 15, "Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. And they will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I mean, did you see that? What do we have at the end? We have this blessed community, this innumerable company that comes as a unified assembly, all with the same agenda and the same loves. I mean, can you imagine? Compare that vision with your current Facebook feed. And not only do we have this blessed community with common loves, they're in God's blessed presence. He shelters them with his presence, and the result is blessing for them in every way. They don't hunger anymore. There is no more thirst. There's no more threat or pain. They have fullness. That is what blessing is. It brings wholeness and satisfaction. And the end of God's story is a united community blessed by the presence of God. And whether you know it or not, that is what you are aching for. I mean, everything that is true and good and beautiful in this life is a faint echo and a dim shadow of that glorious reality. The psalmist says, even as we sang today, in your presence is fullness of joy. Thus, all of our smaller joys in this life are small rays from that much larger burning sun of God's fullness and presence. But they are also faint reminders of the absence of something we long for deep down. This desire for the eternal, for God's presence, is inscribed on us. And deep down, we know we can't find wholeness or blessing without it. As Augustine said, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." All of mankind's pursuits are one way or another a groping after this, seeking to be blessed, but in all manner of fruitless ways. As one author wrote, "A man knocking on the door of a brothel is knocking for God," or another way to put it, looking for love in all the wrong places. Our desire for community is no different. And the more community breaks down in areas like family and society, even in the church, the more it shines a light on what is lacking currently. Which brings us to our next point, stuck in the middle. I mean, we do long for God's presence, and we long for true community, but we don't experience it, at least not fully. I mean, ever since the fall, the story has been messy. Both community and communion with God have been ruptured. Man is banished from the garden of God's presence, and angels are posted to prevent his return. And as soon as he is banished from God, man starts to banish his fellow man. I mean, Cain is divided in murderous hatred from Abel, and because of it, he is banished from the face of other men. Man turns on wife, brother turns on brother, and by the time you get to Babel, the whole world turns on each other as they seek their own ways to meet with God. You see, once it's broken, it's not easy to unite community or to find one's way back into the presence of the Lord. And that is the story of the Bible. How do we get back, not just to God, but to one another? And that is where we find some good news. The Bible does give little glimpses of hope here and there that the problem of meeting God as a community united might be resolved. I mean, first, God establishes a nation, Israel, whose 12 tribes all unite under a single flag, worshiping their singular God. Further, there is a meeting place that is created, a tent that will become a temple, where God promises to meet with his people. We see in Israel a reflection of the garden where God assembled his people in a community, and he blesses them with his presence. He commits to meet with them. It is good news indeed that maybe, just maybe, what we were granted in the garden will be granted again. But of course, with the glimmers of hope, with these small slivers that show that man might be united again with one another and with God, there also comes a whole host of discouragement as well. This place, this tent of meeting, consider what kind of assemblies happen there. There's one nation on earth welcome at the tent. And of that one people, one tribe is allowed to minister there on behalf of the people. And from that one tribe, one man would be selected to enter the Holy of Holies to be in God's presence. And that one man could enter one time every year. T. David Gordon, when speaking on the way of approach, has suggested a better name for the tent of meeting might have been the tent of non-meeting. I mean, notice what the garden was, a place of community and blessed presence. It is seeking to be mimicked in the temple and the tabernacle, but what the temple tabernacle shows more than anything is that it can't bring us back. The community can't go in. I mean, not even two people can go in all the way to the Holy of Holies. Only a singular soul, and that at great risk to their own health. Hardly the vision of blessing and joy and refreshment that we long for. Which brings us to our final point, the blessing of now. You may wonder what this has to do with us and what it has to do with Ascension Sunday. And those are good questions. Well, our Lord came to show us what it meant to love God, to show us what true holiness looked like. And after his death on behalf of sinners, he ascended into heaven and entered the blessed presence of God. As the author of Hebrews tells us, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you hear what the text said? Jesus first passed through the heavens. That is what we're speaking of when we speak of the ascension. And as he passed through the heavens, he walked into the very presence of God. He passed through that final curtain of the temple, bypassing all of the angels guarding the way, and he didn't come to the Ark of the Covenant, but to God's actual throne. And what happened? I mean, every priest before this was scared to death to enter, but this one, holy and undefiled, was welcomed because he was qualified to enter. This ascended, sinless Jesus is our priest. He lives there on our behalf. And so now the author of Hebrews says to us something that here unto has been unheard of. He says, draw near, come in. And not in some sheepish way, but boldly come to God's throne like you belong. We are invited, nay, commanded, to do what has been unknown since the fall in the garden. To come close as a community, to meet with God. At the ascension, Jesus tells a group of people that they are to wait here in Jerusalem until he has sent the Spirit. Until he has passed through the heavens, been enthroned, and gives the gift of the Spirit to the church. And when he does that, the first thing the people do is assemble together for word and sacrament. And that is what we call church or public worship. I mean, the blessing of the present time, the blessing of now, is the church. I mean, the fact that before we join that heavenly company that we read about in Revelation 7, that time where we will be assembled as one from every tribe and tongue and nation, and we'll be blessed by God's presence, before that day comes, God gathers us now in his church on earth and blesses us now with his presence in a community. And when we gather together for corporate worship, it is there that you join with other voices to proclaim the excellencies of your God. It is there that different ethnicities, different socioeconomic backgrounds come together, different political persuasions all gather and make the same confession. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. It is in the gathered church that we have a blessed community, but it is also where we have the blessed presence of God. It is when we gather that we hear the voice of God calling us. We hear the triune God greeting us and declaring pardon over our sins. We hear his word proclaimed to us. And it is as we gather that he feeds us tenderly like a shepherd before he dismisses us with his peace and sends us on our way. It is these realities, the glories of public worship, that have made the last 9 weeks so grievous. But it is also what makes the weeks upcoming so glorious, that we will once again, very soon, be able to gather together. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus, we will be joined to a community where God promises to meet us with his presence. May God hasten the day that we can meet again. And may this time apart renew our commitment to one another as a body, but may it also strengthen our resolve to love and pursue the corporate worship of the church. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.